Our tears come from a hatred of sin and a realization of what it cost our Savior to cleanse us by His own blood, by His death on the cross. And there is that godly sorrow. Now, that's our observations from this passage. Mercifully, wonderfully. And as a preacher, I rejoice when we find this, that we discover here the Lord's own interpretation of all this. Because when Simon, in his thoughts, and he didn't speak out, he didn't protest, it was just all in his thoughts. When he thought this woman should be put out,
delighted to have you along on or Let the Bible Speak here again today as we bring to you the message of the gospel. And today we are dealing with the conversion of the woman in Luke chapter 7, one of the greatest woman converts in the Bible. We'll be having our hymn today, Fairest Lord Jesus. And our question answer is how to teach Sunday school. We firstly had why Sunday school? Then what is the aim or purpose of a biblical Sunday school? And now we're dealing with how to teach Sunday school. And that brings us right to the meat of the matter and, of course, to the issue that really is absolutely important. The one thing that we must do with boys and girls is speak much about the kingdom of God to come. The work of teaching earthly things we will leave to others. Children need to know of the glories of God's kingdom above. There are riches and glories in heaven awaiting Christians, which will never be fully explored this side of heaven. But we must make much of them. Heaven is a reality for the Bible reader. We are not living for this world alone. Children are well able to conceive the things of heaven. Their minds are suited to grasping the glories and wonders of life with God. As Paul the Apostle said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And no doubt for little boys and girls, how shall they see or understand anything about these things unless we teach them? Dr. Evie, in his Sunday school book, Principles of Teaching, outlined this very, very carefully. He said, "It is the privilege of the Christian teacher, under the guidance and help of the Holy Spirit, to open to the view of his pupils the undreamed glories of an unseen existence. The more abundant life concerning which Jesus taught his disciples is the marvelous theme of every Christian teacher. Those things which God, in infinite wisdom, saw fit not to reveal in times past, things which angels desire to look into, can now be presented by the humblest servant of the Lord. The unsearchable ways of God, the depth of the riches of his omniscience, and the inscrutability of his wisdom, once kept as it were behind a veil, can be seen and understood by a Christian teacher. When such an one has had revealed to him a real conception of the priceless value of one immortal soul, and a vision of the far-reaching happiness which is the portion of every child of God, he is ready to bring to his pupils some understanding of what God has in store for sin-cursed men who will forsake the evil of their ways and turn to him for pardon and for cleansing." This, of course, is the hope of the gospel, and there is no reason why 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and 15-year-olds should not learn these things over and over from the lips of a joyous teacher who is full of faith and rejoicing in the Lord. Perhaps that is where the profit of Sunday school teaching lies. It is teaching by a real, living, excited Christian. It is teaching at a child's level with passion for their souls and a passion for heaven. This is all part of the work to prepare boys and girls to flee from sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. To invite a boy or girl to become a Christian is to show them firstly what the Lord has prepared for his children and what he has done to save them from the power of sin. the invitation to be saved must be premised on the message of the gospel. The good news of Christ's mission, work, and victory must precede any call to faith. After all, to believe on the Lord, they must have heard of him. And to hear aright, they need to grasp something of the Bible on which to base their faith. We are not ruling out the work of the Spirit of God by insisting on truth first, for it is by truth that the Holy Spirit works. We are indeed preparing the ground for seeds to be sown and depending on the Lord to apply that word to little hearts. Join us in this great work of teaching children by praying and seeking to support a Bible-believing Sunday school in your area. Our Sunday school meets at 9:30 in the Sunday mornings, and we have classes for all ages, including adults, parents, can be a student in church, and a teacher at home. Come as a family. Leave as a family. You will be blessed. Give us a call and come along this Sunday to begin life in Sunday school. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast, and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. We're coming up to our message now from the pulpit of our church, and it's on Luke chapter 7. This is part 2 of the message aired yesterday, The Greatest Woman Convert in the Bible. Now, here is a little bit of trivia for you, and I hope that today the Lord will speak to your heart through His Word. Luke chapter 7. Now, the Bible has something to say about godly sorrow. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7, you will read there of that sorrow which needs not to be repented of again.
It's genuine, it's lasting. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. And not by his coming only, but by the conclusion wherewith he was comforting you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Now, the context is important here. This is his second letter. He had already written to people in the church that needed to put things right. They had mourned over those sins to put them right. And this mourning rejoiced the apostle's heart. This was a token, this was a demonstration that they were serious about doing the right thing. And he says in verse 8, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. And now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." To repentance. Now, in every dealing with our souls, when God works in mercy and he works in grace, when he leads us to salvation, there must be repentance. There must be a sorrowing over sin. I want to read to you what Arthur W. Pink said on this. He said, "Though this godly sorrow to repentance is not the ground of salvation, yet it is both a part and a necessary condition to it." In other words, repentance doesn't purchase salvation, but it always attends the heart that is saved. "Those who repent are saved, the impenitent perish. It is that inward change in which salvation largely consists. Grief and humiliation for sin as sin, sin against God, are the essential parts of those fruits meet for repentance." Now, this woman washing the Savior's feet with her hair and tears was demonstrating her godly sorrow, that brokenness of heart. And grace does that. Salvation does that. It breaks the heart so we're never proud of sin. The person who can boast of sin knows nothing about true repentance and salvation. You're not saved if you can boast of your sin. This woman confessed her sin and was broken over it and displayed it in a very vivid and amazing way. Now again, I say salvation is not by our tears. Our tears come from a hatred of sin and a realization of what it cost our Savior to cleanse us by his own blood, by his death on the cross. And there is that godly sorrow. Now, that's our observations from this passage. Mercifully, wonderfully. And as a preacher, I rejoice when we find this, that we discover here the Lord's own interpretation of all this. Because when Simon, in his thoughts, and he didn't speak out, he didn't protest, it was just all in his thoughts. When he thought this woman should be put out, the Lord said to him, "I want to tell you a story. There was a creditor who had two debtors. And he called for them and he forgave them each their debt. And then he asked the question, which debtor loved his master most? And Simon rightly answered, the one who was forgiven most. And the Lord said, Simon, you've got it right. And this woman, since she came into this house, has not ceased to wash my feet, even with her hair and her tears, and anoint my feet with this ointment. But Simon, since I have come into your house, you have not washed my feet. You have not rejoiced in my presence or made it obvious to anyone of your devotion to me." End of argument. But it lets us see that the Lord interpreted this woman's actions and behavior as deep devotion, what I call a passion for her Savior. I would that we had a congregation filled with women with such devotion to the Lord Jesus, who displayed in little ways and larger ways that they love the Lord Jesus, that they repent of this world and its sin and delight in the Lord Jesus. I would that we had prayer meetings where we had women just pouring out their hearts and saying, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. I would that we had men and women, why limit this to ladies here, who would just tell it out. I can hardly believe what the Lord has done for me. This is amazing grace. I feel that we could be in danger of becoming more like Simon, more interested in the externals than in the heart. And we know that the Lord looks at the heart. There are women in the Bible we can take this role from. Hannah, she went into the temple to pray. Old Eli, he totally misunderstood what she was doing. But there she was, pouring out her heart to the Lord. Anna, in the New Testament, is another one who did not depart from the temple. Night and day. She was, I think we calculated, what was it, over 100 years old, still never departing from the house of God. I wish we had people that didn't take the easy excuse, I'm not going to church today. I would rather have someone say, look, I want to be where my Savior is. I want to express my love for my Savior. I want to be amongst God's people and just join in to tell the story of Jesus and his love. That's what it's about, my friend. The passion. I preach to myself here today, and I ask, Lord, don't let me lose the passion. My sermons may not always be four square and all the T's stroked and the I's dotted, but Lord, don't let me lose the passion. When did we last shed tears in the presence of the Lord? When did we last worship with a brokenness of spirit? When did we last just even get alone with God and say, Lord, I just want to tell you, I love you. This passion, I pray for it. I pray I never lose it. I pray that as I grow older, that I know more of it, not less. You know the lament that we have lost our first love, the church in Revelation. I wonder, am I speaking to someone here today and you've lost that first love? You used to be a woman or a man of prayer. You used to be just so taken up with your Lord, so in love with him. It wasn't reading history and Puritan theology that turned you on. It was just the love of Christ. It was just to take the hymn book and sing the wonderful hymns of the Savior's love that thrilled your heart, that blessed your soul, that it was like heaven opening up. I can see this woman in a very critical situation in a Pharisee's home. She didn't care what people thought of her. She just came behind the Lord Jesus, washed his feet. Oh, let that passion fill our hearts. I must move on now to her peace. As the Lord said to her at the end of the whole story here to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. This woman had a life to live. She had a life to live, and so do we. We have a life to live. Is it going to be a life of peace? Is it going to be a life of victory? Is it going to be a life of enjoyment of the Savior? She could not stay in this stranger's home for long. Certainly when the Lord Jesus would leave, she'd be out. She had a life to live. And the Lord said to her, go in peace. And he said that on the basis her sins are forgiven her. As I said, what a storm that caused around the tables. That was a theological point that no one wanted to accept or even dabble into. But the Lord Jesus came to her defense. And verse 50 has to contain the greatest words that a soul can ever hear. Go in peace. Sister, brother, visitor, friend here today. These are the greatest words that ever can come to your heart from the heart of the Savior. Go in peace. Live in peace that it is well with your soul. You'll notice that her faith was enough. The Lord said, thy faith hath saved thee. It was enough. How great was her faith? You can't quantify it. You can't categorize it. Faith has just come to the point to see that the Lord Jesus is all our Savior. And of course, this is the gospel message. It's not your works, it's not your performance, it's not even your tears, it's not the amount of your tears, it's not the extent of your sorrow, it's not the days that you live in exclusion, it's not the time that you're out of fellowship. No, it's faith. And her faith was enough. In the Lord's books, she was saved. That brought peace. And she was commissioned to enjoy that peace. Something I want to point out here. She was commissioned to enjoy the peace. You know, peace in this world is such a tenuous thing. It's like wax that melts or flowers that wilt. And mothers, you probably got flowers today, but they're going to wilt. But the peace that Jesus gives, he wants it to be a lasting peace. And so often the Lord had to speak in terms of peace to his disciples, to those that he ministered to and counseled, because that's the great need of hearts. Peace. To live in peace. If I read a mother's and woman's hearts aright, this reassurance is always timely. Just to hear the voice of the Savior's peace. Well, here's our rock. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Cling to that. Pray over it. Never let it go. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And not only so, but we joy also in tribulations. We have peace with God, and we have access to the Father. I want to close with a story I read this week about a dock worker that were working in an English dockyard city. He went along to hear a minister preach, and he was preaching in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. After the service, this young man wanted to talk to the minister about that verse and that promise. But he left without concluding the matter of his salvation. He took ship, went out to sea. The ship sank at sea. A number of weeks later, there came a sailor into one of the services where this minister was preaching. Mr. Henderson was his name. And he told the minister the story that young boy, he was just a teenager, that just before the wreck, before the ship sank, that he made it right with God on the basis of Romans 5:1. I want to read this to you. He was in earnest, but he did not seem to get into the light until a few minutes before the wreck. He and I were told to launch one of the boats and to help man her. While doing so, he said to me, "Mate, if you get to shore, be sure to tell Mr. Henderson that it's all right, being justified by faith. I have peace with God." By some accident, he failed to reach the boat when the rowers had to pull from the sinking ship. But he climbed the rigging for a moment, and the last thing that the other sailors saw of that lad, that he was up the rigging, waving his hat and shouting across the waters, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I close with the words of that story. Friend, your wreck may be closer than you think. You may need that peace with God sooner than you imagine. And here today is the story of a sinful woman, in the eyes of man, hopeless, but went to live in the peace of the gospel. You can enjoy that also. Will you believe? You give your heart to the Lord Jesus. And as I said, this is, I think, the great female convert in the Bible. What a story. What a wonderful story. Let me invite you to know the Savior, to enjoy his peace. And Christians, those who know the Lord, what is this story about? It's just to draw us nearer our Savior. Will you do that today and this week? Will you give the Lord your whole devotion, all of your heart, all of your life, and just say, Lord, I want to live showing my love for you. What a purpose to live. What joy it brings. What peace will fill the heart. That's my prayer, certainly for mothers and all our ladies and for every soul here today. Go in peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee today for your grace to us. What a wonderful account you've given in this history of this sinful woman, saved, marvelously saved. And I praise thee today that you're in this work of changing lives. O Lord, help us to love thee more. And I pray that you will work in every heart and that you will, by thy Spirit, change lives, turn lives to thee. Oh, hear us, Lord. Bless us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and our final word today is from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17, where the Apostle Paul said, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Paul had been let down by a number of close friends. He had been bitterly disappointed in men. And now that he was facing the last chapter of his life, he was able to say that, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." And I suppose the more we go on in the Christian life, the more we learn. Only the Lord stands faithful. Men are fickle. They fail. They change. But the Lord, He changes never. And so, in the strength of that, let us go forth today to serve the Lord, not with confidence in men, but to know that the Lord will stand with us and strengthen. Pray for that. Seek it and enjoy it with all your heart. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.